Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, this is Mama Seven, and I am so glad to welcome you to another A Wonderful Approach radio program. So very exciting, very cute topic for this evening, a topic I know I spent a lot of time studying, and so those topics always kind of tickle me a little bit. And we're going to be going into animal totems. So very important. They are our brothers and sisters. They are connected to spiritual energy. And we're going to go into all of that, all the myths, all the legends, all the everything, so that we can get some more information, more knowledge. But it is Wednesday, and it has been a very tricky Wednesday. It's been tricky because Spirit has just been presenting itself in some very overt, very interesting ways. And as we get closer to November, as we get closer, they say where the veil is very thin, we're going to start to, Spirit is going to make itself extremely present, and we're going to have a lot more insight than we've had before. So on one hand, I'm very, very excited. On the other hand, it's 2020. So I was cool with the thin veil and other years when we haven't had, pandemics and killer tornadoes and hurricanes and all this other stuff. Oh, good. So to add a little more drama to that, I definitely am keeping my fingers and my toes crossed, because it promises to be, if anything, it promises to be electric, It promises to be very hot and spicy, So by the time has anyone noticed outside of me and my fasters that the sun is going down earlier? Amen. I'm so glad to hear that. Those long days have been long, like super long. But it's so nice now to come in and be able to do radio after dinner. Yes. So I'm very, very glad to see the universe working out. And I think we lose an hour, gain an hour, something like that. Time change is coming up pretty soon. So that should work in our favor too, fasters. We have to take advantage of it, because when we're doing devotions, it won't be so ticklish. It won't be so easy. So if you get an easy week here or there, take it. I hope everyone's had time to put their shrines together the correct way. I hope everyone has had a moment just to kind of think and breathe, relax, come to self, have a good feeling about self. And, Wednesday is that day for those thoughts. Wednesday is the day for, if you don't sketch out, no other day. If you don't stop what you're doing, no other day. Do it on Wednesday. Let Wednesday be the day that you are intentionally working on your spirit, where you are intentionally working on your relationship with God, where you are intentionally working on all the many things we have to work on. Each of us has our own little honey-do list, the list of things that we're supposed to be checking on, getting right, doing this, doing that. We all got our list. So let's go ahead and do what we're supposed to do so we can get done with this, okay? Let's get done with our work so we can do the things we want to do. Work first, work hard, play hard. First, got to get the work hard in, okay? I want to say last Thursday we had the premiere of the DJ Cafe. It was awesome. It was so awesome. We got the Khadija Evans had an opportunity to really, really promote, explain, encourage business owners. And I know A Wonderful Approach is full of entrepreneurs. We've had shows on entrepreneurs before. So, working in your passion, living your dream, being honest and truthful and fruitful with self, all of those things, we've done that. And so it was a great show. I got a chance to listen. She has a wonderful network of sisters around her. And so if you get an opportunity, I'm going to post that show too. because it is really, really, really circulating around and getting a lot of earplay. And I want A Wonderful Approach to be front and center when it comes to knowledge, especially knowledge that's going to benefit us. So that business networking program went off Thursday, and it was pretty awesome. So if you want to get a chance, I'm going to post that to the Wonderful Approach Facebook page. And last week's show, last week we spoke about I always wanted to know. So I had a wonderful time doing it, and I had a wonderful time doing it because, you know, this is information that needs to be reviewed every now and again anyway. And I was so glad. My dear sister Melissa was like, she asked, well, a question I wasn't expecting, how do you balance everything? And I was like, that's a great question. And it got me to thinking on air, which is always a lot of fun. But also afterwards, I had to do a little thinking because I had to go back and do all my little tallies and make sure, well, are you balanced? You know, is this equal? Is it close to equal? What happens if this jumps up? What happens if? And so it really made me go back and stop and think, how do we balance our spiritual life with our carnal life, the life that is attached to a job, the life that may be attached to kids, maybe attached to husband? How do you get your spirit life in reconciling with your carnal life? And so if you're anything like me, I love a challenge. I love a challenge. I love the opportunity to think about, okay, what is this? What does it need to be? What should it be? And so that particular question really encouraged me to say, okay, look, let's think about how we're going to do this. Let's think of another way to bring about balance. Let's put in some routine things so the balance works. I know for myself, because November is such a big month for me, I decided for the month of October, I was going to spend the first 2 hours working on me, the first 2 hours of my day. And I said I didn't care if I was going to be late to work. I don't care if, you know, what didn't happen. I was going to give myself that 2 hours. And so with a little waking up early and a little going to sleep, one time, I had to go to sleep one time in order to make plans for me. Not work, not kids, but me. I had to do this and had to do that to make plans for me to have my time. So whether I've been cleaning or reading or painting, whatever I've been getting into, it has been something that I've wanted to do, okay? And so that's just a small example of ways that you can put yourself priority. And I'm not conflicting with anything else. You know, waking up early to spend time with me does not conflict with my spirituality. It doesn't conflict with my work. And where it did, I was like, tough, this month is for me. And so, you know, these are things that we can do. It didn't conflict with my job in trying to be a mother. It didn't conflict with my job in trying to be a mate or anything else like that. It was an opportunity for me to spend with me. And it was wonderful. It still is. Talib got the countdown. I got 9 more days of me. And I've really been using this time to my advantage. And now that I've done it for 21 days, it feels so natural to wake up and to move in my rhythm before even checking email, before getting on Facebook, before doing anything. I spend that time with myself. And so it's so important that we find ways to create balance in our life. And so that show, that particular show, that particular question, helped me to remember some things I am putting in place. And I hope everyone went and thought about, what do I need to put in place to bring about the balance that I need in my life? Well, that was one of the shows. That was one of the questions. The whole show was wonderful. Take a moment, go back, listen to it, and let me know what you think, okay? So tonight we're going to be getting with our animal totems. I love this topic. Let me bring on my co-host. Dear Sister Melissa has decided she's not only going to ask a question, she's going to stay on with me the whole time. I appreciate her. You know, she's brave. I appreciate her coming on. So hold on just a second. Let's see if I can grab her. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I am fine. How are you?
I am good. Just so you know, I like to do this on the deck. So if the traffic gets loud, I'll run into the house to quiet it down. So just wanted to make that disclosure now.
Awesome. This is Melissa. Love having you on the radio with me. Always. You're one of my regulars that I can always count on to make it thought-provoking, to really, really have it go a step deeper. I really appreciate that.
I enjoy the fact that I have this group of people to be able to bounce those kind of questions off of and to understand a different lifestyle that is comfortable with me. So it's a blessing the whole way. Even when you get beat up on at the retreat, it's a blessing. It's a butt-whooping blessing, but it's a blessing.
Look, it will heal. The swelling goes down. I promise. And that's awesome. You know, yes, we have retreat. We do workshops. We have all kinds of events all over the Southeast. So we get our work in, and it's a wonderful thing. But let me ask you something, Melissa. Why did you pick this particular topic?
Okay,
what about
so,
the animals that are calling you?
Well, I have an affinity for animals, period. Just like I have an affinity to protect women. It's another strong part of them. And you guys know, I mean, y'all, Angel, y'all know, I'm always like, that animal ain't gonna bother you. Y'all need to stop being scared of that. This is a beautiful thing. What you mean you're scared of bats? I don't understand that. Y'all know I'm a speak up for the animal like y'all speak up for the children. And that's just what my spirit does. So I have this affinity for a fox, and my name means honeybee. And so I have these two, you know, animals or insects, what they want to call them, that have always been with me, and I have a strong attraction to them. And I wanted to investigate that and get to understand it. And the more you get to understand how animals are and work, the closer you actually can connect with Mother Nature, to the point where you can understand that water is a living organism, air is a living organism. Like, although it's not, it is. And it just helps you understand how deep life goes. Like, life is energy, period. And if you can understand that, then maybe you can get along a little bit better in the world and not be so hard on the world at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now let me ask you, when you say that the fox and a honeybee, that you're attracted to them, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so I've always resonated, even before the honeybee, I've always resonated with the fox. I just thought that was what I was as an animal, like an animal. Anyone who knows me, I'm a very hairy individual. I go to electrolysis and try to keep the beard and mustache in check, but I'm a hairy little individual. That's a hairy creature. I mean, cute little thing, too. They are fast and mischievous, and I've always been rambunctious.
Yes, they are.
And just by the way I'm speaking right now, you know, I move swiftly. intelligent beyond comprehension. So there's a term, crazy like a fox. Well, guess what, guys? My initials are MAD. MAD in America might stand for anger, but its English meaning is crazy. And people who know me will tell me how intelligent I am because of the field or the right field or the bottom field. I don't know where I come from, but wherever I come from with my thoughts, it is slightly different than the rest of the population. And so people feel I'm intelligent behind it, and I feel like that resonates a lot with the fox. Then there's the adaptability, and even if I am moody and have my issues, I can adapt to certain situations and live through them enough to get past it and move forward. And the fox definitely can do that. They're cold and hot and long hair, short hair, all kinds of stuff that they have that helps them adapt to where their environment is to survive the harsh conditions. And I feel like that is something that's part of me. And that's just like on a physical level. Then we talk about what they can do on a spiritual level. And then I think about, when I think about the spiritual level, I think about my personality. And a lot of that to me kind of goes into play. So there's just this connection I have with this little creature. And even the littleness, like there's some that are tiny and some that are big, but I'm not the smallest woman, but I'm not the biggest woman. I mean, it's just so much that I can connect with them. And then the thing that I've learned recently, it's like there's dog hardware, cat software, and a dolphin soundtrack, and they just look so, they're just unique. They're just really unique.
They are. I absolutely love the fox. I know a lot about that fox energy because if you've ever run up on a fox or had them run up on you, you realize how mischievous they really are. They get into stuff, and it's amazing. So I want to tell, you know, just in general, animal totems, there are signs out in nature. There are signs for men with understanding, you know what I'm saying? So there's signs out in nature for us to pay attention to that we can see and hear and learn different aspects. You know, each animal has its own process, either the way it processes with itself, the way it works with other creatures, the way it works in environment. But animals always have something to teach us. We just have to pay attention. And so it's very important that we pay attention to our animal totems. But, you know, the majority of us live in the city. So it's not like we will visually see many of these animals with our eyes. But what you may do, the way you encounter, so someone said, someone asked, well, how do you encounter an animal totem? How do you know what animals are your totem? And you just pay attention to possibly your dreams. Pay attention to different colors you may be attracted to. Pay attention to possibly even the food and the diet that you have. Sometimes the way we eat will resemble an animal totem. An animal is trying to tell us something, trying to teach us something. So, you know, we have to spend time learning and being quiet in those moments. And so, and then when you do actually see your totem in person, it's usually a humbling experience when you do, because you've learned about this animal. You've developed a relationship with this animal. So I know I was at a powwow 10 years ago, and they had some foxtails for sale, and they were black. And I questioned them. I said, how can you call this a foxtail? It's black. And of course, he looked at me like, excuse me. They're not all red. You know, they come in many different colors. And he gave me a whole lecture on the fox and the importance of their tail, you know. And so, I of course, I got them. I gave them to my mother. But they were absolutely, when you to touch, they were so beautiful and bushy and everything. I was like, okay, I understand more about this animal just from touching its fur. Because in any other opportunity, I would never get the opportunity to pet a fox, you know. But just from that one experience, I feel as if I have more knowledge on them and who they were, who they are, just by touching them. And so have you had an opportunity to come across any fox? How does your fox totem speak to you?
So mine has come from my affinity towards them. For me, and I was reading where it can come to you in dreams, and it can come to you by random sightings and things of that nature. And I only had literally like one encounter where I missed the fox. My sister was with me and saw the fox, and this was on my trip to Denver. and I wanted to go snowmobiling and dog sledding and do all that. And we're downtown Breckenridge, and she was like, oh, my God, this snow fox. And when I go to look, it's already gone. That was, like, my closest encounter with them. So I've been doing a lot of searching for them, and I can't imagine, like I found a foundation that I'm going to start to donating some to the Save a Fox. So I'm learning more about them. And these are the foxes that are getting saved from the farms, the fur farms or whatever. But I don't feel like I'm a dreamer, like a nighttime dreamer. I feel like my dreams are more daytime. And my daydream, I have like full fantasies of a fox. Like I can't shake it. And when I get overwhelmed with it, I'll research more on it to try to see what message I'm supposed to be getting. And typically, it's something about adaption, change. You know, being wise about choices. You know, use even
being clever.
Even like you said, with the eating habits, it's a scavenger and it's a predator. So sometimes you just gotta go rooting through somebody else's stuff. Sometimes you gotta go grab your own. So I look at that kind of thing and it's like, okay, how do I approach this, or is this how I'm supposed to look at it? And that's how it comes to me. I wish I had that ability other folks have to see the dreams and remember them in that manner. But for me, it's a daydream. Vivid daydream.
I have four totems. The wolf, the owl, the vulture, and a hummingbird. And the wolf was the first. And the wolf, whenever I see this wolf in dreams, this wolf is not a friendly wolf, okay? It is always kind of harsh and always trying to force me to see something. So whenever I, now, 15 years after the fact, whenever I see this wolf, whenever it makes its presence known, I'm looking for, what am I doing wrong? You know, I'm looking for, you know, that kind of like that getting in line energy, get in line, you know. So whenever I've seen the wolf during meditation, especially my meditations outside, it is always like a snappy get in line, you know. And when I kept knowing the wolf, they are pack animals and there's an alpha, you know. And when this alpha speaks, when this alpha is communicating, everyone else gets in line, okay? And whenever that energy comes forward, I know that there's something that I myself have to realign in quickly. You know, it's like, okay, you don't have no more allowance on this right now. Make the change. And so at first I was like, oh, my God, I must be doing something wrong. You know, this wolf is always growling at me, snipping at me, you know. But no, that is how they communicate. That's how they communicate. You know, this is when Alpha turns around and says to you, that's how they communicate. So I didn't understand that. So once I began to understand that, I was like, they're trying to talk to you. You know, they're trying to communicate. They're trying to let you know that this is coming up, that you need to be on alert. Every time the wolf comes up in my life, I have to be on high alert. You know, I'm listening with all of my ears. Absolutely.
Can I ask you a question? Have you...
Please.
I read about shadow totems, animal totems. So I want to know, did you have a fear? I know you said it was a little intimidating, but did you have a fear? Because from what I read, people who have fear of certain animals, that's actually probably a shadow totem. And if they can learn to overcome that fear, then they can use those things that are supposed to be used against them for themselves. So, like, say you have a fear of a snake. If you learn to overcome that and learn what the snake is good for, then the next time something happens to you, instead of being bitten, you might be the one to strike out.
Very true.
And protect yourself in that kind of way. So when you encountered this wolf, was it intimidating to you, scary? And I'm saying that because it already sounds like you learned what you needed to learn to turn that weakness into a strength.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't fearful. I was just confused. And then I would look and see the pups, the juniors. And I don't know if you've ever seen, like, little dog puppies. They're constantly biting at each other, rustling around. And so I was like, okay, it's not a bad thing or a mean thing. This is literally how they talk, you know. This is how they get the attention and get the message across. So I haven't felt fear. Now, if I saw a grizzly bear, our wily teenager apprentice has a picture of this grizzly bear on our Facebook. No, I'm not going to play with that. Okay, even though there's tons of things I'd love to know, I'm a pass. Okay, I'm going to, you know, so there. This is why I need a caretaker, because I'd be quick to talk to an animal. I'd be like, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? You know, but no. It's not fear, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen people, they'll call me, I had this dream, and a snake was chasing me, and I was like, the snake was chasing you. Was it trying to hurt you? Did you think it was trying to get you, or do you think it was trying to just keep up with you? You know, and they're like, what? And I'm like, was it trying to get you, you know, or were you running it out of response, you know? So you're absolutely correct. We have to think not only about our own fears and how this animal comes to us in our fears. We also have to think about predators. You know, we have to be aware of predator. One of the reasons I know about the fox, the coyote, and the wolf is because they share similar understanding, but they're yet very different. Where foxes don't mind being by themselves, but where a wolf will be in a pack, and a wolf plays a part of a pack. You know, the wolf is not just it, you know. It has a position to play. And so it's like about learning the different levels of understanding. So whereas you may be okay with being by yourself, reading a good book, I, part of the pack, would be like, hey, why are you by yourself over here? You know, you need to come over here with us. And I may be trying to pull you in a little bit more because I have more of a pack mentality, whereas with you, you know, you're like, no, I'm okay by myself. You know what I'm saying? All I need is one or two. And that's why you see foxes. You know, they usually are maybe one or two. That's it. So it's always very interesting.
You're touching on something that's funny, because here we go with that varying degrees of when life is so different. So my other totem is the honeybee, and that is a strictly community. It's a working team, and it works for women. And it's like, you know, they make the men just so they can make more bees. Like, and they even have to feed the men. Like, they're just totally helpless. All they're there to do is procreate and die. That's it. Other than that, the women are running everything, and they choose who their queen is going to be. So if they don't want that queen anymore, they'll just make a whole new one. So it's funny because I'm torn in that direction. Like, as a fox, I can be by myself easily, and I can have a little family that I'm dealing with. However, as a bee, it is strictly, let's work together to make this place run. And let's do it, ladies. Come on. Let's get it together. So it's weird how it blends all in together. And then when you said, talking about the predator, you know, as you understand your totem, you have to understand the predator and the prey. Like, if your spirit animal is a predator, then what's its prey? And you have to understand how that works, because if you can learn how that works, again, you can apply those things to yourself to help function in life. And so it's funny how you think about it. It's not just the animal. It's literally the environment in which it comes from, how it interacts, and what it does for the community, you know, what it does for the ecosystem and things of that nature. So it's just it's amazing to me. And if you go back, like the Egyptian times and things, animals were very, very, very important in guiding our walk in this whole spiritual, you know, realm. It's one and the same. There's no separation. I mean, like, I read somewhere where the message from the whale and the message from the elephant is almost the same. They pretty much are going to teach us some kind of love. No matter how you look at it, they're going to teach us some kind of love, whether it's self-love or love for community or whatever. They're going to teach you that. However, they also need to teach us to leave things the way they are so that everything can work the way it's supposed to work and stop disrupting things. And the elephant has its sense of community and history and wisdom, and the same thing with the whale. You know, they deal with pods and little communities, and they have their own way of communicating with each other. And they're just like, just let life be. Just be in the moment and let life be.
You know, one thing I love about both whales and elephants is their relationship with their young. It takes them a year to birth one child, and they birth them one at a time. And that child stays with the mother for, I think, another year or two. You know, some animals, as soon as they're birthed, they're out on your own. Go ahead. Bye. You're on your own. And with the elephant, that is so not true. And with the whale, the baby stays with the mother at least a year. You know, and so it is, you know, that's nurturing, and that's very close to our own habits, you know, whereas, you know, turtles, I think the second they come out the shell, they are getting picked off, you know. They don't have a whole lot of support.
They get dropped off at the beach.
They get dropped off at the beach, okay? So they don't have a whole lot of time and support to get done all the things that they would like to get done. So, but the whale, so not like that. They get a lot of support. They get a lot of, you know, that mother keeps that baby with them, you know. And so it is, those are, and you would think two of the biggest animals, two of the biggest mammals that we have, they are, but they're still nurturing and doting over that baby. So, you know, and they don't rush independence with their children, you know what I'm saying? So their children have lots of time before they have to make, you know, those decisions, before they have to leave home and everything else like that. So not only when we're thinking about animal totems, we look at their habitat, we look at how they raise their young, we look at, you know, the pack mentality versus, you know, solitaire. It's very, very important that you take a full look at your animal totem so you can really appreciate it. Because as you appreciate it, that's when you start to learn more about yourself. And that's the whole goal of any study. Really, it is. The more you learn about spirit, the more you learn about yourself.
And I was going to ask you if it was okay to say to the listeners if they wanted to hear about an animal, to hit, you know, one and tell me an animal, and I'll look up real quick to see what that spiritual meaning is. And then I wanted to say, don't forget about the animals that you happen to run into just randomly or repeatedly randomly, because they may not be totem, but they could be there to give you a message. And just lately, the animals and insects that have, like, I don't mean I'm driving down the street and I saw a deer on the side of the road. I'm not even going there, okay? I'm talking about the three praying mantis that was in my deck, on my sunglasses, and somewhere else really close to me, and the hummingbird that was hanging out. And today, a sparrow knocked itself out on the screen. And I'm, like, looking it up like, oh, what is this? What does this mean?
Yes. And also, and not just animals that we know and that we like, also animals that we don't like. You know, that is very, very important. And I'll go first while we're waiting for, okay, look, since Melissa said press one, she's going to research your animal, and we're going to find out, you know, what that animal is trying to tell us and everything like that. So I will go first. I will go on to something that I don't really like. I try to stay away from, and it always seems like it's following me, and that is that possum. Oh, my God. I'm not a possum fan. Possum, possi, none of them, none of them. My first Elegba had a pet possum. He was a three-legged possum, and I called him Slow Joe. And I would be outside trying to do my meditation, spending time with my Elegba, and this three-legged possum would come up on the deck. I had a whole deck. It would come up on the deck and would sit right beside my Elegba. And I'm sitting here like, look here, you little thing. I don't need you here. And Slow Joe, that's why he's called. And so I am not a possum fan. So tell me about possums, because I know there's a lesson there, whether I like them or not, for this possum to keep showing up during my spiritual centering time, there's definitely a message there. I just don't like them. It looks like big old
rats. And they're really good for the environment. Okay. So what I am seeing is, and I don't think I bought my reading glasses. Shame on me. Okay. The spirit animal message comes to you because things are not entirely what they appear to be at this time.
Uh-huh.
Your best course of action is to say nothing and to do nothing simply. In other words, possum meaning is guiding you to allow yourself space and time to see things for what they are.
Mm. Absolutely.
That's the skinny.
Absolutely. And you know,
okay, so
during that time I found that I needed to, I'm a very transparent person. I like being transparent, but that's not always what's needed. That's not always what's good. Sometimes you can be transparent to a dangerous situation. So when the possum kept coming during that time, I was like, okay, let me pull myself in a little bit. Let me not be as out as I usually am. Because that possum, what the possum does, the possum fools people. You know what I'm saying? It's always tricking people, making them think one thing or another. So I think you're absolutely accurate needing to use the appearance, you know what I'm saying? What am I doing? I might need to make it look a different way, you know? So, I paid a lot of attention. And then all of a sudden, Slow Joe just stopped coming. And I was like, okay, somebody got slow. But I don't think it was that. I think it was just I received the information and I was able to let that go, you know, just like
mm-hmm.
you said earlier, learn the lesson. And then that energy can go and do whatever it wants to do. So, yeah, that's what that was. And I value the lesson.
I was going to say, yeah, you're definitely 100% on point on that, learn the lesson, because if you're not getting it, there's going to be, reappearances. Or
mm-hmm.
if you need to be reminded again, like, because you might just need to be reminded again, something could be going on. But,
right.
Yeah, it is there to understand a lesson, or at least to try to a different point of view to approach at whatever the situation is at hand. So,
mm-hmm.
like, the animals that I've been running into lately is, like, don't get comfortable. Change is not
okay.
finished.
Mm-hmm.
And be slow. Like, that praying mantis is like, be slow. Take your time. Don't rush
mm-hmm.
through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay.
All right,
I don't
so
know how I'm going to try
this,
but I'm going to get it in my head.
Okay? That's my question. My question is, how do you listen? The praying mantis is saying, take it slow. Slow down. But that's not your nature. So it's almost like, you know, am I being punished? You know, how do you process that without, I guess, taking it personal? How are you still open to the lesson without being offended or anything else like that? How do you do that?
Okay, so the work that I've been doing with a wonderful approach, and I mean, I'm not doing a plug here. I'm just saying the truth. Okay, you know, getting beat up in lumps on the head. You understand what I'm saying? But anyway, applying those tools that I've been learning and, you know, listening to what the people have to say. You know, these folks care about me and only want
Amen.
The best, so I trust yeah. them, unless I wouldn't be with this group. So,
yeah.
you know, and I always feel like God speaks through everything. So trying to, like, roll it all together. You know, my whole thing is, and this is one thing I wanted to say about that topic we talked about on fear, and I don't think I got to mention it, but for me, to overcome fear is to actually really accept. And that's one of the things that I've been learning in 2020 is just to accept. Don't fight it, just accept. And then, you know, of course, there's going to be things that you're going to pull against, but don't just, I have to learn to accept. To me, it's beyond letting go. Like, letting go
mm-hmm.
is one thing to go overcome fear, but to accept. So I'm looking at what's going on and these things that are coming around me, and I'm like, okay, this message is saying that. This butterfly means this. This lizard means
yeah.
that. I mean, I just to tell you the gauntlet of animals that have, I mean, an owl and just all kinds of stuff just been showing themselves to me. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so is there a message? So I'm looking it up, and then I'm thinking about what is going on in my life and if I can apply it to something, great. If I can't, I ask God to keep it in a reachable place so that should that circumstance show itself, I can remember what I was told to do about it. And then just recently,
yeah.
I got into a loud conversation with someone because they were irritating me beyond all get out. And that person brought to the attention that my voice was a lot louder than it needs to be. And I'm like, you know what? I need to work on it. I still need to work on it. Maybe this person is in my life. I know this is a person talking about, not an animal, but I'm applying the same principle. Maybe this person
yes.
showed up in my life just to teach me that, just to let me know
yes.
I still have triggers. Like, I'm not untriggered yet. So
yes.
let me see how I can apply these encounters with trying to keep me from being so volatile at times, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if you're seeing something that says, you know, be slow and patient, but keep your mind open and watch and be quick to change. It's funny, be slow and patient, but be quick to change.
Right.
That's a balance. It's like, okay, how am I doing it?
Yeah.
Obviously not well
right.
enough, because I'm still getting the lesson learned, but
yeah.
I'm at a point where at least I can see I've gotten off the path, or I can understand that I need to do a little bit more before I walk forward.
Yes. And that's why I'm so thankful for animal totems. I love them. I love to see them. I love to see the vultures circling. Whenever I see them, I mean, it's just awe-inspiring. You know, and usually when I see them, they're, like, way up in the sky. But I've had a couple of close encounters with these things, and they are huge. I've had one tap dance on my window sill. It was that close where Italians were on my window sill. And so I was like, okay. But, you know, I understand their job. They are cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they clean up the nastiness that has to be cleaned up. And so whenever they're making themselves very present with me, it's one of those things where I know that this may be messy, but it's necessary in order to get to the next step. So whenever I am feeling them and I'm seeing them everywhere, I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand. This is the messy part, but I can get over it. And so, and it's a job. It's a legitimate job. Someone has to clean up this mess. And so I have to get okay with that sometimes. And sometimes you don't
mm-hmm.
want to. You know, sometimes you're like, hey, let somebody else clean that up. Ba-ba. Mm-mm, that's not it. You're there, you get it. And do it without worry, arguing, fussing and fighting. Just do what you need to do so for the benefit of the family, the benefit of the community, the benefit. So we
mm-hmm.
have to be able to get out of our own heads sometimes. You know, that's kind of how that energy, it kind of is jarring to me. It's like, get out of your head. Stop thinking, one, it's all about you and all about what you want.
sometimes it's nothing about what you want. It's everything about what needs to happen. So, yeah. We need vultures to clean up the animals. If not, we'd have disease everywhere. So, you know, vultures are very big birds. I mean, huge birds. And so high in the sky. So if we didn't know about, you know, who they were and what they did, then it would be, you know, when you see them circling, you'd be like, okay, you know, they're getting ready. They're getting ready. I know, I want to just talk about, we're talking about our animal totems. If you have an animal totem, you have an affinity for this animal. You love this animal. You enjoy seeing them. They're a part of you, okay? But if you don't have an animal totem, you're new to this, you may not understand, you know, the love, but let me tell you, it's all about respect, 100%. You know, like the Native Americans, I love to use them as an example, but they have so much respect for the animal that, you know, wearing the feathers and wearing the skin is a honor to them. You know, they're trying to incorporate and trying to show and experience the animal by wearing their skins and the feathers. It's not about, you know, decoration. It's about honoring and elevating that energy.
They even might even call that shapeshifting when they're putting on the skin, the horns, whatever, wearing the bones around them or whatever they're doing as a way to connect that energy, the spirit energy of that animal into themselves. And so they might do, mimic the dances, mimic the way that they move. I mean, I'm reading a book from a woman who literally is the you for the animals, and she literally can meditate herself, you know, and be with a bat or be with a horse and see through their eyes and then communicate with them on a manner which she understands what their needs are. And she always asks them these questions, you know, what is your spiritual meaning? What is your message to humans and what's your spiritual meaning? And I just think that is a beautiful thing. And so if this person is just meditating herself into it, can you imagine when our ancestors were running around with their authentic, real bones, you know, or, you know, and how they, the energy that holds, that's within them, and the way that, you know, they can tap into that. I mean, if you have an owl as your totem, and you have some wisdom, you have an understanding of life and death, the nighttime is your world. You're silent. Like, there's a way you approach things in a manner where you're there without even alerting the folks around you that you're there. And then the information you can use and take back. And even just feeling the energy in earth itself, feeling the energy in the dirt, in on the, you know, in the tree, in the life of the animal you might be pursuing. Being able to tap into that, and as many as you can get there, being able to apply that, like even on a zodiac level, I'm a Scorpio. Scorpio season soon. Scorpio season soon. But I feel I'm elevated towards the eagle. I'm aiming for the phoenix. I'm trying to get to that level where I can communicate on that level. And that's what my goal is. I don't know if I'm gonna make it, but that's what my goal is. My goal is to elevate.
That's wonderful.
And learn to reach life on another plateau. That's my
awesome. You know, you were speaking about the owl. The owl is my second totem. And the owl's feathers, like I have lots of feathers. But vulture feathers are long and very, very long, where the owl feathers are short. And the owl has maybe half the feather that the vulture has. And when an owl is flying, they're practically silent. So that's why that whole stealth and secret, and I'm like, how can something that big, they're still pretty big now, how can something that big be silent? They're made to be silent. So, you know, for those that have that totem,
you have to know there are times where you do have to be where quiet. You do have to hold the mystery, not just, you know the mystery, but you have to be able to hold the information. And, you know, that owl, that has always been associated with wisdom, you know. So there are certain energies that don't, they can't be quiet. They can't be still. They can't, you know, an elephant, I wouldn't expect an elephant to be quiet at all, okay? So, you know, this is just the energy. My dear sister Melissa, I have a phone call that would like to join us in this conversation. I love the conversation.
Yay!
I love the conversation. We're talking about those things that are near and dear to my heart. So, absolutely, I'm going to bring in my caller. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Hi.
Greetings. Greetings. Is this the baby elephant? Look, how have you... Your whole name is Animal Totem. How you doing, sweetheart?
I know, right? I am wonderful. You all, y'all are having a great conversation, and I had to call in. I just had to. So my take. So at first, I didn't realize that, you know, I resonated with animals. I knew you know that animals could bring messages, but I didn't realize that the totems, I didn't realize how spiritual it can really get. And so the first time I've had experience with anything, it was a frog. And the frog just ended up by my shrine, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, somebody come get this frog, like, oh my gosh, you know. And my housemate at the time, she ended up catching it. And 'cause I went to sleep immediately. Like, I couldn't take it. I just was like, you know what, I'm about to go in my room. This frog can have his moment, because I can't take it. And I actually went to sleep. And I didn't realize, you know, that I looked up frogs, but it deals with transition. And after talking to you, Mama Seven, you mentioned how frogs start in the water. You know what I'm saying? And it can end on land. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's not, you know, not too many animals can do things like that. Like, you know, that's something that's amazing, you know. And I thought about my life at the time, big transition with things, you know. And I was like, okay. And thinking about being called baby elephant, one of the baby elephants. Like, so Mama Seven didn't know that I have an elephant necklace. You know, she didn't know. It happens like that, you know. And studying the elephant and understanding, that kind of helps me understand my place in life. It helps me understand that, you know, it's okay to start over, and I'm getting the things that I need. I'm getting nurtured. Just, you know, just follow the pack, you know. Don't go wandering off, you know. And it reminds me the discipline that I need to have on my spiritual journey. Like, I need to be disciplined. Like, I don't need to get dirty, you know, and wander off, and I have the tools that I need to do what I need to do. And it's not just even just Mama Seven. Like, I have other people that I've met in the Wonderful Approach that are great leaders. Like, it's no reason why I should be misled or misguided, you know what I'm saying? Because I see excellent people who practice what they preach. And it's like that protection piece, I feel more protected after understanding and researching, you know, and praying and just comparing the things that I'm learning with the animals. And the butterfly.
That's another big transition.
It's like,
yes. Yeah.
The week of the powwow, I've seen so many butterflies. And, you know, after thoroughly researched, because at first I just did the minimal research, you know, but after just thoroughly researching, like, the fancy shawl, it's basically saying that I am doing the fancy shawl dance. I'm basically saying that I was once in the cocoon, and now I've merged into a beautiful butterfly. So, you know, that's my boo call. Like, hey, what's up? You know, hey, you know. You know, I'm a single young woman. I'm a beautiful butterfly, you know. And I didn't realize at the time, and it was so funny because an elder actually came to where we were at.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny how things played out. But seeing those yellow butterflies, and I'm just like, okay, I'm starting to understand. And the first time that I noticed the butterfly was right after a conversation about animal totems with Mama Savage. So I was like, okay, yellow butterfly, okay, I see one. And then I kept seeing more and more. So it's like, you know, I'm starting to understand that animal totems, they are important. They're just as important.
They
That's
are.
A part of nature. And
yeah.
I appreciate this new viewpoint that I have, because it's like, you know, it opens my mind, and it has me, I can see signs and symbols.
Amen.
At first, I couldn't really see them, but now that I'm opening my eyes to them, I realize that, you know, God gives me messages a lot. It's just sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'm too cloudy to catch them, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate
you know,
mm-hmm. this.
Before you, I want to say, and I'm glad you made that point, because sometimes God's spirit is using the animal for you to understand that's exactly when you need to pay attention.
Yep.
Like,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't see this, you might not have recorded it in your mind that this didn't happen. But because you saw
right.
that animal, now you recorded it in your mind for something for you to remember later on. And again,
yep.
our spirit guides even have animals that they have an affinity to. So it is, again, connected, one and the same. Different, but the same.
And
very
you know,
much so.
The different reminders that, you know, that my life is my life is portrayed with these animals. And
mm-hmm.
at the point that I have a lot of things to do and to work on, and I'm striving, it's because the transformation is not always going to be easy,
yeah.
and it's not going to always be, you know, the way I want it to be, but it's always going to be beautiful at the other side. So it's just like, you know, that gives me more confidence in who I am and what I can
mm-hmm.
do and the person that I can be. You know, I just have to go through those changes and those phases, and in the process,
mm-hmm.
you know, staying with where the protection and keep myself elevated in God's light. And it's like, it can't go wrong. Those are the signs, you know. So it's just, I don't know, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
It's beautiful. It really is. It really is. And
mm-hmm.
all of those are ways to set you up for more success in the future. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Keep paying attention. And you know, it always makes me feel good. You know, I know God is busy. I know God is busy. But it always makes me feel like I just got an extra set of eyes watching over me when I see those vultures circling up ahead. You know what I'm saying? It always makes me feel like, you know, my particular angels ain't far from me. You know, those that
mm-hmm.
that have sworn to watch over me are close. And so, you know, I am so, not only do I love to see them, I'm thankful for their presence, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they give me that added protection. And so, it's an ongoing cycle, you know, because at first I was like, oh, but does that mean I don't love the wolf? No, it does not. The wolf has a different purpose in my life. You know, that wolf is here to make sure I stay straight. If I ever start to bend or get a little crooked, that wolf is going to come and snap me back into shape. I have no doubt about that. But
mm-hmm.
the vulture and the owl, to me, those are like high-level divine messengers, you know. And so I always, they always resonate a different feel for me, you know. And it's wonderful. Mm. It's absolutely wonderful. So absolutely keep dreaming, keep paying attention. Keep, I mean, I know there's one season where I swear I bought 10 yellow things. I had yellow shirt, yellow pants. And, I mean, I looked in my closet. I was like, where's all this yellow coming from? And, I mean, I'm the only one that buy my clothes, okay? So guarantee is only from you. But I was like, why do I keep buying all this yellow? And it was just the season. It was the season. It was hummingbird time. I was making some forced changes, even though I didn't realize it. And so, you know, even sometimes the colors that we're attracted to will tell us what is going on a spiritual level, you know. Just like the fox. Mm-hmm. The fox comes in red, white, black. They're, what, a reddish
gray.
Brown. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So each one of those colors means something different. It talks to us about the environment that that fox is accustomed to and possibly how it has to move with these extra colors there, you know? So just things to pay attention to. The colors mean something, too.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, dear mm-hmm. baby elephant, thank you for calling in and sharing your butterfly story with us. I need you to do that deep level research before you jump out in any fancy circles or anything else like that. But all is well. All is well. I'm glad you got to do the dance and understand more about yourself and more about nature. You know what I'm saying? When you are putting yourself in that place of that animal, you know, what yeah. like a vulture, sometimes I'm like, okay, what do I need the high level? You know, maybe I'm too close to some of the information. Because outside of vultures and eagles, I think eagles fly higher than vultures, but not by much. So we're talking about the highest viewpoint that you can have as an animal. So what am I around? What am I looking at where I might need to get, I might be too close to the information. I might need a high-level look at something I'm doing. You know?
Yeah, I get
yeah.
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
mm-hmm.
question. It's like, take yourself yeah. out and look from another point of view.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And are we missing a point by being so kind of stuck down where we are? You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm only going to look at this. I'm only going to do that. Mm-mm. We have to stop and look that we may be closed-minded when we're doing that. This is why you have to know your animal.
And even
you know,
if the animal scares you, learn what's going on because that
absolutely
that should be that's a lesson. No, it's not a curse. It's a lesson.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, if, especially if it's a real fear, you know, snakes. Like I got this big blanket of blank tarantula in my house. You know, I'm not scared of it, but I'm not opening no pit to. You know, this is ridiculous. So you know. Stop and think about what that spider represents. When Talib was trying to get this that the spider, that's all he talked about. And I have to have this and I have to do that. So, Melissa, seeing how no one else has pressed one yet, would you look up what spiders mean?
Uh-huh. Hold on.
Because this boy was completely obsessed and possessed with having to get this tarantula. So he didn't want just a regular spider. He wanted a big spider. So, yeah. What is the,
okay.
the spider thing? Mm-hmm.
It's coming in. Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. It looks like they're using a tarantula as a picture, too, so that's awesome. Okay, I'm just waiting for it to actually make sure it loads before I say the wrong area. Okay, here we go. So, spider is a remarkable figure of feminine energy and creativity in the spirit animal kingdom. Spiders are characterized by the skill of weaving, by the skilled weaving of intricate webs and patience and waiting and awaiting their prey, sorry. By affinity with the spider spirit animal, you have high qualities of high receptivity and creativity. Having the spider as a power animal or totem helps you tune into life's ebbs and flows and ingenuously weave every step of your destiny. Ooh, that sounds like him, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. As I'm sitting here like, I got set up on the okie doke. Look at this. Absolutely, that 100% sounds like him. That, and
it says
I have to recognize. Go ahead.
Okay, it says also, because it's a little bit more, as a spirit animal offers the interpretations, its symbolism both light and dark, reflecting connections with life's many facets. And then it gets deeper into it. So also it's that balance of, you know, the good and the bad side of life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to balance him. But, yeah, this is real. You know, so even in my studies, I'm like, how did this spider get in the house, okay? How did it get in the house? It has this cool habitat. It eats all the crickets at once. How did this happen, you know? Also, it is adding energy to my house. There is another being
mm-hmm.
in the house. You know, for me, I also have the turtle. So would you mind looking up turtle too? You know, the turtle. I don't know how old Bob is. Bob will outlive us all. You know what I'm saying? Bob shows up when he wants. I have no idea what the turtle does all the rest of the time. It's quite interesting. So, but Bob walked up to me. I was in the hood at a gas station, and the turtle literally walked across the parking lot and walked right up to me. And I was like,
wow.
Okay, so I guess you're going home with me then, okay? And so, his energy, or her energy, I don't know, has been felt the entire since we've had Bob. So I know there's some ancient energy resonating off
mm-hmm.
of this turtle.
Okay. So the turtle totem wisdom teaches us about walking our path in peace and sticking to it with determination and sincerity. Slow moving on earth, yet also incredibly fast and agile in water. Those who have the turtle as a totem or spirit animal may be encouraged to take a break in their busy lives and look around or within themselves for more grounded, long-lasting solutions. Traditionally, the turtle is symbolic of the way of peace, whether it's inviting us to cultivate peace of mind or a peaceful relationship with our environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that
so
is
it says
ancient
here,
wisdom.
Yeah, it says here, the symbol of the world of the earth, so yeah, that's ancient, the ability to stay grounded even in moments of disturbances and chaos. And
yeah.
Slowing down, pacing yourself, determination, persistence, emotional strength, and understanding, and ancient wisdom. And
yeah.
It's also linked to water and the nature
mm-hmm.
of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those special creatures that have two elements, that have access to water and land, there's something very special about living and residing in two places or having the ability to be in more than one realm at a time, because they will go, I think he can hold his breath 20 minutes. So that's,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot, you know. And so, you know, we have to begin to understand also, there's a lot hidden in the turtle. Like, I don't know how long Bob's legs are. I have no idea. I don't know how long his neck is. He shows me what he wants me to know. And then, you know, and as I look at that, I think, how many times should I be showing people only what I need them to know? You know what I'm saying? Let me back up off this Facebook. Let me back up off of certain conversations. How much is needed for you to know what you need to know? And so that's very important also, you know, is being able to be comfortable, masked under your shell. You know. Mm-hmm. Also, I think Bob mm-hmm. is actually beautiful. His designs on his shell, the ridges, the lines, the coloring. He looks like Tiger's Eye to me, you know. He's dark brown, so he looks a lot like Tiger's Eye. And Tiger's Eye is all about that unveiling of the truth. You know, that's what Tiger's Eye does. It protects against, the false. So I mm-hmm. love, every time I see him, I think about that Tiger's Eye, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to expose some things, Bob. I know you are, you know. So also reminders of that as well, you know what I'm saying? So also when we're thinking about our animal totem, think about also the animal's diet too.
Mm-hmm.
And that might – you mm-hmm. may have to make some adjustments in your diet. Also think about, is your animal nocturnal? Because if you are up late and you just can't help it, you're just up, you know, you may have to stop and think, if your animal totem is nocturnal or if it's become nocturnal because of man's expansion, that might be something for you to explore as well. You may need to intentionally try to rest at night, because it may be difficult for you, because that's when your spirit would like to be awake, you know what I'm saying? So,
Yep, you're absolutely right about that one. And I'm going to say, in that appreciation you have for Bob and his natural beauty, this is how I see a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of funny-looking creatures that God created, and I can't give them all the Beauty of the Year award, but in their own right, they sexy, including the vulture. I mean, that king vulture, awesome-looking. But if you look at them, there's something about them, whether they have maybe some iridescent little, skin cells or something, so it might reflect light a little differently around the neck, or if the feathers have different plumes and things of that nature. You just, if you really take it in and look at it and see the shine of them, even a bat, of course I'm going to go with the fox flying bat because why not, right? And that's the largest bat, and all they do is eat fruit. And they have, leather-like wings and soft little fur and, flexible, digits. And
mm-hmm.
and
that's funny.
Yeah, they scary looking, but in their own right, they're sexy. In their own right. Don't hate the message, y'all, but everything is sexy in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
Even a platypus, and which I still don't understand. But even a platypus.
I have cats. I love cats. I think this is the smallest number of cats I've ever had. I only have three. And you're like, only, and I'm like, yeah. If I could have 100, I would. I love cats that much. I love all their different colors, their mannerisms. My cats are very free flowing, so they are, there's not a place where they don't go. They are everywhere and full of personalities. I know the Egyptians used to see cats as being on how they could be in both worlds, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And cats
mm-hmm.
were known to be protectors, and that's 100% how I look at my cats, you know. So if I think I see something, I'll look. I'd be like, Miss Jenkins, what you see? I need you to tell me what you saw, you know. And so the cat's like, nothing, we're going back to bed. I'm like, okay, go back to bed. So, cats have always played a big part in my life, always had at least three. They are, like I said, they are so beautiful. They are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are people that are scared to death of cats. They don't want to have nothing to do with them. They're like, go away. And I'm like, good luck with that. So, there are people that are really afraid. It's the same with dogs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind dogs over there, you know, except for Siobhan's little dog. He can come talk to me. But outside of that, I'm like, no. And, but certain people, understanding that dog understands that fox, which understands the coyote, which understands the wolf, you know, and understanding
mm-hmm.
how the descendants work and the wild energy and everything else, the loyalty, the absolute loyalty that many dogs display for their owners and everything else like that, all of that is part of that animal. And it changes over time, but not by much.
Mm-hmm.
Not by
mm-hmm.
much. It is still very much an animal.
You know, you're talking about the cat and fear of them. So I remember back when I was designing outfits, and I had a friend of mine's daughter come through. She wanted her prom dress done. And she was like, oh, I'm afraid of cats. And I'm not going to lie, this was my cat, Jax. And anybody who knows Jax has felt his teeth. I'm not going to lie. I'm not proud of it, but he got you. And so she had a reason to fear, even though she didn't know this of him. She just feared cats. So she had her shoes off because we were doing the fitting. And all in her shoe, just sniffing the heck out of her shoe, would not leave her shoe alone. She was all like, why is he all in my shoe? I said, I don't know, but cats pretty much, you know, keep evil away. I said, maybe you have some evil in your shoe, and he's getting rid of it. The next time she come over, where's your cat? Where's your cat? Where he at? And I was all like, oh, so we learn a little bit, and we get a little bit of respect for the animals. And it's
okay.
funny. It's all it is knowledge. If you get some knowledge, I promise you, if you get some knowledge and retain that knowledge, you'll be able to accept things that you didn't realize you can accept. You know, it's like, oh, it was just that? Oh, like I got it. Like you get a shot. Oh, that's it? It didn't saw off my entire arm? That was only feeling
right.
I got?
No, you did not saw off the entire arm. I still survived. I'm still here to live, to tell another tale and everything else like that. And so, yeah, when it comes to our animal totems, let's not be afraid of that. I know I have. I have quite a few tools. I have a full raccoon pelt, a full skin. I have porcupine quills. I have deer, you know, deers have toes. The hoof is covering the toes. You may not have known that. So I have toe bones. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And then I have a femur for my deer. I have all kinds of feathers. I have every owl feather, and there's only about four or five different feathers, but I got them. Vulture feather. All of these things put me closer to this animal, and I have if I respect that journey, then I can feel good about experiencing it, that animal again through those tools. You know, just because the animal has transitioned doesn't mean that its wings are and its feathers are not still thinking about the initial job that it was supposed to do, you know. So, yeah.
And it's funny you say that because I was looking at some crystals and some stones, and I came across a fox with nine tails. And the stone is a, of course, against negativity type of stone. And I went ahead, I have to have it. So I went ahead and got that, and I put it with my goddess shrine because I'm like, to me, that's about me. So I put that over there. So I got my wooden honeybee over there, and I have this crystal over there. And it's like just to keep all of that together because I feel like I'm collecting parts of myself. And I'm putting them on this shrine to let myself know that I am building and I'm aware of these things that are important to me, even if they're very subtle to the rest of the world. So, you know, and I love the fact that the bee is wooden because I know that wood works with the goddess very, you know, very well. So, you know, I don't know what kind of
wood.
I'm assuming it's birch. Yeah, I'm assuming it's birch wood, but I don't know what kind.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, you know, trees and the goddess go hand in hand. And
they do.
And then also, if you think about how they react to, again, the moon and sun and certain conditions going on in the world, like animals, if you watch them and respect them, there's a reason why man and animal have merged and worked together for all these centuries. There's a reason
why
we figured out how to use the oxen and figured out how to tame a horse. You know, there's reasons for it, and it is to combine power. It is a trade-off. Like the book I was reading, it talks about the cat's purpose and
The message was, give us what we want and then leave us alone. Literally, that's the cat saying, give us what we want and then leave us alone. You give us what we want, you good to go. And just let us do what we do. And what they do is they can chase away the negativity. They can protect you from harm. They can keep vermin away from your house. They have their ways of paying you back for the energy you pour into them.
Yes.
And so even
pay you
again,
back.
And I want to emphasize, even the ones you are scared of, if you can overcome it, that spider, that worm, that bird, that lion, whatever it is that you are afraid of, learn more about it and overcome it. I'm not saying to go run out to the next safari and jump inside with them. I'm not saying to do that. But it's okay to watch them on TV. Yeah, it's okay to go to a zoo and then look at them from afar. I mean, I'm not a fan of zoos, but it's okay to learn about your quote-unquote enemy. Because I promise you, if you can get that enemy in your understanding, what do they say? Keep your enemy close and your closer.
That's right.
No, keep your friends. I forgot. But
keep
you
your friends close and your enemies close closer.
Close and your enemy closer. Yeah, know what they're doing. Because if you know what they're doing, then you can protect yourself against what can be done.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Woo!
It is hard to believe that we did not hit a fast-forward button, but it is 9:20 right now. We are coming towards the end of the show. That went super fast. I don't know where the time went. But, my dear, I want to thank you so much for joining us and also for bringing up this really, really important topic. Because, you know, we need to understand the more we know, the better we do. The more we know, better choices we make. So, you know more about yourself. This is about you. So let's take the time to learn about ourselves so that we can make good decisions and move forward. So let's keep doing that. Let's keep doing that. It is prayer time. And we have had all kinds of prayers on this lovely channel. I absolutely adore it. So I always give the guests the opportunity if they would like to offer prayer first. So, my dear Melissa, would you like to close us out in prayer?
I sure would.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so this prayer, we're doing a little differently. I normally start off with Father God, Mother Goddess, ancestors, and start praying, but this time I'm going strictly out to Mother Nature. So, Mother Nature, I am praying for you. I am praying that the collective humans on this planet learn to love, honor, and respect who you are, the power you possess, the energy you provide, the nurturing and the home that you offer us. I am asking that we humans learn to respect living creatures on this planet. You don't have to love them. You don't have to like them. But can we learn to respect each other? Respect each other's strengths, weaknesses, the gifts that are provided, because we all have them. And learn to use them in a way that we can harmonize together like our Native American ancestors have, like our African ancestors have, like some of our European ancestors have. There are folks who know how to work in harmony with animals, accept the consequences of bad actions, and learn to give and give and give so that more life and energy can be in abundance. So heal yourself. Do what you need to do to protect our home. And I ask that the humans provide their energy and to give it to Mother Nature to make sure that we are all safe. Ashe.
Ashe. Amen. Thank you so much.